back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, May 1st, 2020. And this is what bad guys say. Go ahead.
What are the conditions under which economic crises or other kind of societal crises like the ones that we're in right now lead to a reimagining of a different kind of socioeconomic structure?
Yeah, well, I mean, one point I'd like to emphasize is that it's a bit of a misnomer to think that crises lead to a reimagining. A lot of the work to do the reimagining needs to happen before a crisis takes place, right? And so if you look at any of these moments, whether the 1930s, the 1970s, where we can think of sort of epochal shifts in the way that people address issues of political economy, a lot of the underlying work for that transformation happened within theoretical communities, often decades before a crisis came to pass where they came to light and were enacted into policy. And so, you know, I take that as one of the central missions of the work that Margaret has been doing and the work that Anne-Marie is doing is trying to take the ideas that are out there, bring them together, get people speaking to each other, and then make them accessible to policymakers so that when a crisis like the one we're in right now emerges, it becomes newly possible for people not to have to reinvent the wheel, but rather just reach for ideas that are available on the shelf to experiment with possible solutions.
Great. And do you have an example of one that you've
taught? I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you, Angus Bergen. Appreciate it. Imagining a New Moral Economy, April 3rd, 2020, SNF Agora Institute, Johns Hopkins. There you go. I mean, that is literally how it works. And so, again, I would direct your attention, if you have not gone, do yourself a favor. Is this America? I mean, if this isn't America, then never mind. It's not necessary. But if this is still America, as I understand it, then, you know, maybe head over to Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security, which is centerforhealthsecurity.org. And then visit their work, their great work. Publications. So if you are on a desktop, you hover over Our Work and click on Publications. And if you're on mobile, I don't know, because I'm not looking at it on mobile. But you heard Angus Deaton talk about it. Anne-Marie Slaughter, Margaret Levy, the work that they're doing is interpreting, you know, enterprise to the public and public to the, you know, basically they're taking these pieces of already Smith stuff that Angus Bergen was talking about and introducing, look, legislators, we have a solution for that. Amazing. What did he say? Not to reinvent the wheel, but rather just reach for ideas that are available on the shelf to experiment. Now, do you see what's happening here? You have folks who, in plausibly deniable fashion, are working on these kinds of things. They always have these solutions, wink, wink, waiting on the shelf to experiment with possible solutions. Whose ideas are these? Are they your ideas? They're certainly not mine. And they usually involve relinquishing some degree of control so that we can have a greater degree of the illusion of security. And I submit that you are probably your own best expert on your own well-being. As am I. And I would also submit that what works for folks in New York or Japan or wherever is not necessarily what works best in your backyard or my backyard. No offense to any of those folks. We just, you know, things are different in different places. People are different. Which is why I think the idea that some guys had quite a while back that, you know, we would all be sort of self-governing in our own little townships and hamlets and things was pretty brilliant. But, you know, it's difficult to weld together society into a hive-minded sort of Borg structure when you do that. When everything is disparate and messy and chaotic like that, these guys are going fast, these guys are going slow, these guys are sitting still, they don't care. But you can't weld everyone together in your great work. So, bad guys don't like that. So, pressing on, just a couple of things real quick. The other one that I was thinking of was the Wheeler Center's drill. This is not a drill, excuse me, a hypothetical cybersecurity crisis. Remember I mentioned that one? I thought that was irresponsible. Wheeler Center is another one that, you know, these things are everywhere. So presented in partnership with AsiaLink, the University of Melbourne, Wheeler Center just did their This is not a, another one of their, this is not a drill series, a hypothetical cybersecurity crisis on April 20th. The other thing that I was thinking of, the SNF Agora, I think it's the COVID testing insight initiative that they just launched a couple of days ago. Now they have this, what is it, coronavirus.jhu.edu/testing. Johns Hopkins COVID-19 Testing Insights Initiative. This is, I think this is an SNF initiative. The testing initiative is a result of support from Bloomberg Philanthropies. Thanks, Michael Bloomberg. And the Stavros Niarchos Foundation as long-term philanthropic partners of the university, in addition to our outreach and encouragement from Senator Mark Warner. Thanks, Senator Mark Warner. Policymakers from across the country, including at the federal level, have sought a centralized hub for information and data about testing as they evaluate plans to reopen economies and craft policy responses to counter the spread of disease. The new Testing Insights Initiative will provide such a resource and help guide leaders as they... Now, when you hear guide, again, Larkin, Texas reminds us that it's steersmanship. That's the cybernetic way. A Stafford Beer said, you don't want to manipulate people. You want them in Rand Corporation game theory fashion to think it's their idea. Control needs to be inbuilt. People need to control themselves. And again, that's part of the Stockholm Syndrome aspect of things. That's why Hillary Clinton wants you to vote, not because it means anything, but because then you are an active participant in controlling yourself, enslaving yourself, which again gets back to sentiments that Larkin, Texas has expressed, you know, those quotes, the best slavery then is that which is ignorantly self-imposed or administered. So the new Testing Insights Initiative will provide such a resource and help guide leaders. Guiding leaders is to guide you, right? The leaders become the rudder of the people. You can guide the rudder, then you guide the people. That's good steersmanship. Such a resource, who's responsible? Whose ideas are your ideas represented in this resource? That's helping guide leaders as they consider how and when to reopen. This is dangerous. And, in partnership and close collaboration with other interests. So that's an interesting thing. Testing, testing, everyone. Johns Hopkins COVID-19 Testing Insights Initiative. China.org.cn had something yesterday. Urgent COVID-19 deaths in U.S. top 60,000, Johns Hopkins University. Even China's concerned. The number of COVID-19 deaths in the United States topped 60,000 on Wednesday afternoon, reaching 60,207 as of 4 p.m. 2000 or, you know, 2000. GMT. According to the Center for Systems Science and Engineering, CSSE at Johns Hopkins, which is who's running that dashboard of data, a total of 1 million cases, 1,030,487, have been reported in the country, according to the CSSE. But again, I'd like to point out two things real quick. If we extrapolate the numbers, as Dan Erickson said, and I know that's a sin because Bill Gates says so, and so do all of the other experts that are basically in tow. But if we extrapolate out those numbers real quick, just quickly, let's just use these numbers. 1 million. I won't even go to the numbers today. If this is valuable, if this is relevant, this is helpful. 60,207. Two things. So 60,207 divided by 1,030,487 would give us a mortality rate, right? And that would be 5.84%. Oh my goodness, terrifying. But if we incorporate the numbers from the USC study or the Stanford study, you know, the Santa Clara County study and other related studies that are coming out, that data is different by orders of magnitude, 20 to 85 times different. So 20 to 85, let's see, call it 40, 50. Let's just call it 40 times to be conservative, shall we? And so that would mean that 5.8426% becomes 0.1461%, which sounds more like what the experts have been saying, what the epidemiologists have been saying, what former ER doc Dan Erickson said. And then if you take that a step further and you take these two numbers and let's see. We reduce the numbers like Italy did, because remember, Deborah Birx said we're following very closely Italy. So Italy said that they reduced their numbers by 88%. If we do that real quick, then those numbers are even, what does that become? The actual number of deaths, I got to format these cells in Excel real fast. No decimal points, just a number, no currency, use separators. 123,000 and 7,200 deaths. If we are, as Deborah Birx said, following Italy very closely, those are very unalarming figures. 123,000 deaths, especially when, again, you know, you consider the fact that, again, according to the CDC, ...2019-2020 U.S. flu season preliminary burden estimates, 39 to 56 million cases, 18 to 26 million medical visits. How did we not overwhelm the healthcare system? 410 to 740,000 flu hospitalizations and 24 to 62,000 flu deaths. That number keeps moving slightly. But, you know, on average, 47 million illnesses, 22 million medical visits, more than 500,000 flu hospitalizations, and somewhere between around 40 and 45,000 flu deaths. So this doesn't sound as terrifying as it's made out to be, especially if we've been inflating the numbers. Again, if we bring the numbers down the way that Italy did, 123,000 cases, 7,200 deaths is where we that is what we would be looking at. So very unalarming. Anyway, moving on. Hopefully that makes sense. A couple of other things real quick. Homeland preparedness news picked up earlier this week that CEPI invested another $3.5 million. Remember CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, which was represented in the person of Jane Halton at the Event 201 pandemic exercise held October 18, 2019. In New York, hosted by Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, World Economic Forum, and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations invested another $3.5 million in Clover Biopharmaceuticals Australia, which, you know, is Jane Halton's stomping ground, to develop a COVID-19 vaccine. It's CEPI's ninth investment in COVID-19 vaccine, the investments totaling $39.6 million, which doesn't include others like the Gates Foundation direct investments and the Wellcome Foundation again. So skipping ahead, this investment stems from a call for proposals that CEPI issued in early February. Now, here's an interesting fun fact. Again, speaking of CEPI, CEPI tweeted on January, CEPI tweeted on January 23rd, given the rapid global spread of the nCoV 2019 virus, the world needs to act quickly and in unity to tackle this disease. We're funding three programs to develop vaccines against the novel coronavirus. So if we go to, that was January 23rd. You can go to Twitter and see that tweet. January 23rd, 7:23 a.m. You can go to usafacts.org. Click on the coronavirus stats and data there. And I think it's the spread map, isn't it? And see, you go back to January 23rd. You can click, there's that little, you know, the hockey stick there. Cases and deaths over time. Go back to January 22nd, 23rd. One case. January 23rd, January 25th, two cases in the U.S., that is. By into February, we had a dozen cases. Oh, my goodness. Washington, Illinois, Massachusetts, California, Arizona. A whole dozen cases, and already CEPI was funding several vaccine candidates. Isn't that a curious coincidence? Were they psychic? We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back. Again, I would encourage folks, this is a serious situation. I know that people are having a difficult time. No one wants to believe what seems to be happening. Who wants to be confronted with that kind of monstrous conspiracy? But you know what? History tells us that, I mean, isn't that in our roots? Again, what was Andrew Jackson talking about then if not this kind of a situation, when he said that eternal vigilance is the price of liberty and you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing? We know that we have our own episodes of intrigue and deception in our own history. It is a thing that happens, not to mention when, you know, other things happen. Not to get into history too much, but, you know, I would encourage folks to go to usafacts.org and, again, investigate. By mid-March, it's very interesting. You know, go to usafacts.org, go to the coronavirus locations map page, you know, by state, the live map, coronavirus cases by county and state. And just go to that little graph there, confirmed cases and deaths over time, and just, you know, maybe click on the play button and watch. January, 1 case, 2 cases, 5, 0 deaths. You know, fewer than a dozen cases in America, zero deaths throughout the entire month of January into February, you know, few cases, few more cases, one death. And, you know, it starts to climb a little bit, then we start to climb into March, 100 cases, 8 deaths. That doesn't sound like anything to panic about. And then the numbers start to climb, but already by March, by mid-March, remember Anthony Fauci announced that they were doing vaccine trials in Washington. Remember that? And, gosh, that's fast, don't you think? Are they psychic? That's awfully fast. How did they know? The moment things were happening, and then if you go a step further, if you go listen to Professor Witkowski's latest talk with, oh gosh, what's his name? Who's been interviewing these folks. Journeyman Pictures is obviously putting out the video series Perspectives on the Pandemic. Professor Knut Witkowski. I think he says Knut, though, right? This is Perspectives on the Pandemic, Episode 5. And oh gosh, what's his name? Who's doing the interviews? John Kirby, The Press and the Public Project. Anyway, Journeyman Pictures, go watch. And that brings me to another point that I really actually meant to address early on. When it comes to Bill Gates, when it comes to the Gates Foundation and the philanthropy, I would, again, encourage people to investigate. Have you investigated? Are there conflicts of interest? And when Bill Gates talks, listen with a discerning ear, keeping in mind that post. Remember, how to lie with statistics. That's his post. It's titled A Guide to Number Games. You can still find it. And it's, to me, it's very provocative, very ironic that he wrote A Guide to Number Games. March 14, 2015 is when that blog post was published on GatesNotes.com. The same week that he was giving that infamous 2015 We're Not Ready TED Talk. Same time he's doing that. Same time he's talking about these, you know, numbers that are from out of thin air. Same time he's doing that, he's writing about how to lie with statistics. And in the background of that image that he has on his own blog post are the words deaths per 100,000 population. Number of deaths per 100,000 population. What statistics is he lying about? This, to me, demonstrates the hubris we're dealing with. So listen with a discerning ear, keeping in mind this post, How to Lie with Statistics, and that he never mentions science-based, data-driven facts. He never has any data. Zero data. Go watch a real epidemiologist, Knut Witkowski, use actual data, the actual data that we have, and see what he says. An actual epidemiologist. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late-night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
No trophy, no flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade. Cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago,
all right, so bottom of the second hour. Of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, and let's see. Let's see if we can grab this. A real epidemiologist, what a real epidemiologist says, and there are a growing number of folks. The situation is far more dire, and I'm not trying to be alarmist, but it's far more dire than most people realize. Most people could not fathom that somebody would want to do these kinds of things. But again, that's why I say, you know, J. Edgar Hoover said it. And if anyone was in a position to know, don't you think Hoover was? Yet the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to the realization of the evil. Well, no, we don't do this. No, don't apply your own prejudices, your own thinking. The American mind has simply not come to the realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent. Again, not to be alarmist, but to say yes, Virginia, these kinds of things do exist. So this is what an actual epidemiologist says. Go ahead, please.
To the economy is immense. And even if there had been a few more deaths than in a regular flu, which it wasn't, but even then, the huge damage done to the economy could not be justified by whatever was known, even at the time when people started with the so-called social distancing or the second prohibition, exactly 100 years after the first prohibition. And we already knew how effective the first prohibition was.
You don't want to take it. Show me drinking it.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
So tell us about some of the numbers. I mean, what have you seen that bolsters your view?
It is simply that the number of cases, even with a very liberal definition of what constitutes a case, is now dropping all over the world. It's over in China, it is over in Korea, and in most countries in Europe, it's also dropping, and in others, it's leveling and will be dropping soon. It is dropping in the United States, so there is no indication anywhere that this would get worse than a flu, during the flu season. It happens that flus are during the flu season.
One of your most intriguing contentions from our last interview was that peak infections had already been reached by the time containment was begun in a number of countries. Can you go over the evidence for that again? And maybe you want to show the CDC graph right now.
Okay. So on April the 17th, the director of the CDC presented at the presidential briefing this graph that I'm showing here. And this is data from the influenza-like illness reporting system, or ILINET, where hospitals make a check mark or count how many patients show up and having fever, sore throat, running nose, any of those, and with an indication that this might be some sort of influenza or similar. And what you see, and he explained that, there are three peaks. One was in December 2019. The other was sometimes in January, February 2020. And then a third peak that was around March 18th, and that was COVID-19. So if the number of admissions or people showing up in a hospital peaks around March 18th, that means that the number of infections must have occurred on March 8th.
That's the top number of infections.
It takes a week until you have symptoms, and you don't go to the hospital with the first symptoms. You say, oh, yeah, I have a flu, I have a cold, whatever. It will be over soon. And then after 3 or 4 days, if it's not over, then you say, well, maybe it's something more serious. And then you go to the hospital. So what we see around the 18th must have been events or infections that were around the 8th. And if the infections peaked around the 8th, shutting down schools and restaurants and the economy about 10 days later is something that is totally absurd. In particular, if you know that 1 week later, only 1 week, not 10 days later, 1 week later, the curve was already clearly going down, indicating that the worst was already over. And if in an epidemic the worst is already over, to say, okay, then let's shut down the economy and cause 26 million people lose their jobs, because it's so fun seeing them losing their jobs, I think that is heartless.
Can we get that again? What was the condition of New York hospitals?
They were not overflowing. New York hospitals were not overflowing. They were laying off people.
And what happened with the Javits Center?
Nothing.
Well, how many people were
300.
In
300 in the Javits Center, I read different figures, 65, 64, 186 people in the Navy ship that came here. So it's a total of 500 patients. 500 patients are a drop in the bucket in the New York City hospital system.
So the ship was not necessary?
No. And we had enough respirators.
And respirators may not have been the solution.
Yeah, and that may have been unfortunate for the patients that there were so many respirators, but it's a different story.
Yeah.
That red graph, that was peak hospitalizations, right?
That was admissions to the hospital or people showing up in hospitals.
So we're saying that that happened as a nationwide average on March 18th.
Yeah.
And the lockdown in New York occurred on March 18th. So is there any reason why public health officials, people like Redfield or Fauci or any of these people, would not have been able to understand that they were at the top of a peak, or as soon as they the next day saw that the rate of admissions was going down? I mean, what do you make of that?
I have no clue. And other countries play an even more important role here in the United States, because the United States was 1 week behind Europe. It took for the virus to get about a week to get from Europe here to the United States. So we could also already see what the epidemic was in Europe, and that it had already peaked in some European countries. And a virus doesn't behave differently in the United States than it did in Europe. So one had a lot of evidence that the virus would do in the United States exactly what it had done in China and in South Korea. It would peak, go down, and be over, be done with, without any intervention. Because the intervention in China came too late. They didn't know yet what was going on. And in the South Korean government is very proud to treat people as a government in a democracy should, not to impose restrictions on people that are not absolutely necessary. So South
right.
Korea, like Sweden...
We can... I think you should watch the whole thing. I think everyone should watch the whole thing. Perspectives on the Pandemic, Professor Knut Witkowski, Witkowski, update interview... Episode 5, and that, of course, after, I think it was episode 2 that he was interviewed in previously. There's a playlist. I got to put the art. Yeah, it was episode 2, published back on April 3rd by Journeyman Pictures on YouTube. You know, and again, his latest study is published the first 3 months of the COVID-19 epidemic, epidemiological evidence for two separate strains of SARS-CoV-2. Viruses spreading and implications for prevention strategies. He is an epidemiologist, and this is what he's saying. He, you know, 35 years of experience and highly regarded. Again, you know, his credentials, I think I misspoke but he mentions that and clarifies at the beginning because people have attacked him, and he sort of speaks to that and perhaps why. But he talks about a variety of things, and the fact that there are a number of colleagues, you know, and folks in their field, epidemiologists, many have been saying, look, like Professor Ben Israel of Tel Aviv University, for example, who have mentioned that the virus is self-limiting, peaking after 40 days, then rapidly declining, largely vanishing after about 70 days. No matter what interventions are put in place, this is something that Witkowski speaks to and mentions that there are a number of his peers who are on the same page as far as this is concerned. Number of experts, you know, there's John Ioannidis, there's a Santa Clara County study, Jay Bhattacharya is in that. Bhattacharya has been interviewed at least twice by Peter Robinson, you know, Hoover Institution on Common Knowledge, Stanford University, and a number of other folks. I don't remember them off the top of my head, but again, there's a growing body of folks who are sounding the alarm, and we need more folks like that. I thought it was interesting. Bill Gates was on CNN again, and Anderson Cooper just became a father, and I hope that that is something that maybe reaches into the depths of him that he perhaps has not experienced previously. I don't know. New father, you know, maybe you see things differently, and I hope so. Sanjay Gupta, I'm fascinated that a doctor can sit next to a college dropout, well, on the screen anyway, listening to a college dropout, hanging on his every word, and being a doctor and knowing better than the lies they're being told, and they are lies. Maybe we'll play one of those in a minute. And attacks, by the way, you know, hearing these things and not speaking out, it's, oh my goodness, what is your job worth? What does it profit a man that he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? So, you know, I hope and pray that these people will join the ranks of those who are saying, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. This doesn't make any sense. This makes no scientific sense. This is not science. This is not science behind this. We keep hearing the word science, data, and we see none. So again, I would encourage folks to listen. When you hear Bill Gates speak, listen with a discerning ear. Watch with a discerning eye and see, does he ever mention any science-based, data-driven facts? The clip that we just played, Professor Witkowski, who is an epidemiologist with 35 years of experience in his profession, was using, as he said, the same data to point out the absurdity of what's going on that has been used. You know, he's using the ILINET data that I think it was Redfield presented, like he said, at the April 17th White House coronavirus press briefing, and he's using the same chart, the same data, and pointing to the same information. He's actually using data to make his point. This is science-based, data-driven. I've never seen Bill Gates do that yet. All I see him do is make up imaginary things and fund efforts to make other imaginary things, whether it's the Imperial College London, which the Gates Foundation has made grants to, or the IHME, the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, which Gates Foundation, Bill Gates himself, actually created, putting Chris Murray, in charge of it. That's the official story. Those are Gates' pet projects at University of Washington. So everywhere you turn, there is this effort to fabricate figures instead of doing what Professor Witkowski is doing and using the real data to say what is going on here. So, for a guy who likes to play number games and lie with statistics, I'm not sure we should be listening to that kind of a person. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, you use me up, until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me.
Welcome back. We have lots of ground to cover. I mentioned Drs. Erickson and Masihi, and this is an interesting thing. This is an interesting point of, I don't know, controversy or inflection or whatever. By the way, from yesterday, another bit of housekeeping. This wasn't mine, but just as a point of clarification, that's all. Walmart, you know, Mart Law is not Walmart backwards. It is an anagram, just to be clear. So, point of clarification. So, Drs. Erickson and Masihi . This is something I think that a lot of folks, you know, when you start to look at things in more of an unvarnished light, so to speak, then you start to kind of develop, I think, a cynicism and a skepticism for all things. And that, I think, is sort of an inbuilt mechanism, too. When you read things like the protocols, it seems like certain people would want us to become skeptical of everything and all people. As a, you know, the more contemporary vernacular on that might be the kind of Vladislav Surkov avant-garde theater. You know, we've talked about kabuki theater kind of stuff. The headlines don't matter so much as, to me, looking at what, you know, like Angus Bergen said, the plans that have been made, the things that have been set on the shelf to reach and grab, oh, look, there's something. And to start seeing it in that context to help people see these things are not accidental. They don't just happen. They've been planned for years, sometimes decades, as Bergen himself said. So to see the headlines in that sort of light should help raise people's awareness. But, you know, we can become skeptical of all things and all people, sometimes to a fault. And so I just want to offer one more point of clarification on Drs. Erickson and Masihi, maybe 2 points, maybe 3 points of clarification, but quickly. I don't know, for what it's worth, my thoughts on that when we come back. Third hour coming up, stick around, we'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.